last time. Seen that no one heard my cry, and my voice was swiftly fading, for I was drifting with the tide. But then a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped in mine, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time, and it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep, just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. Only God knows how long I drifted, but then I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. Now I don't remember drifting, 'cause pleasure rode with me. You see, when careless winds start blowing, that's when you'll drift so easily. Now the storm knows no exception, and my friend, I've sure had mine, but I thank God Jesus found me, and it was just in time, and it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep, and just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. God knows how long I drifted, oh, but then I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. Think about this verse. Oh, I was going down for the last time. Seemed that no one heard my cry, and my voice was swiftly fading, for I was drifting with the tide. Oh, but then a hand from out of nowhere, oh, it gently slipped in mine, and I thank God Jesus found me, oh, and it was right on time, and it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep, and just before the angry billows had pulled me out to deep. Only God knows how long I drifted, oh, but then I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God.
I trust you enjoy a song like that. You know, we live in a dark day. We live in the last hour. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. If you're not right with him, I hope you'll get right before Christmas Day. Now, this is going to be a great broadcast. I'm excited about that. I'm dealing with a subject that I really love. Heaven will surely be worth it all. This is the Christmas season. And may I say Merry Christmas to everybody out there as you're getting ready for that special day. And this year I'm going to do two broadcasts today and next Saturday, in a positive vein, not dwelling as much with things I need to talk about, Revelation, the coming of the rapture, Jerusalem and what's happened with us in the last days concerning Jerusalem. I'm telling you, there is such proof that we are in the last hour. There's such proof that we are facing the rapture, the coming of the Lord. and we're facing that dark tribulation. Not we, of course, who are right with God and ready to go in the rapture, but our world is about to face that coming tribulation. And it's going to be worse than you even imagine. If I could ever get you to remember and really realize how terrible it's going to be, you'd serve God and nothing would keep you from serving God, my friend. It's just that important. It's just that imperative. Well, we're going to talk about heaven will surely be worth it all. Now, I've got a number of directions I want to go. I want to take you. But all of them are dealing with the very thought of what heaven's going to be like, what we have in front of us, and why we cannot get people today, it seems, to think about heaven, to even spend time making sure they're ready to go to heaven. Why would you ever consider anything else? Now, the first thing I want to do, and I'm going to get you to help me with this. I think this is important. Let's talk about all the words that you will never hear again when you get to heaven. The words. Now, think about this. I never thought about it. I never went through a list and tried to come up with every word that would no longer be part of my vocabulary. Once I'm on the glorious side of eternity and heaven and all the promises of God, words that you'll never hear. You'll never hear the word lost. I mean, that just isn't in the heavenly vocabulary. But because nothing can be lost. Nothing can be less than perfect. Nothing can be less than complete. Nothing can be less than heavenly. I mean, It's overwhelming to think about. It really is. And if you would get started thinking about it, it would be amazing. Now, before I go to words, I want to ask you, if you lived in North Korea and you were a Christian, would you be anxious for heaven? If you lived in Iran and you were a Christian, would you be anxious for heaven? I mean, if you lived in some kind of rest home where your body had kind of deteriorated and you're just kind of living, hanging on to life, would you be hungry for heaven? What would it take to make you hungry for heaven? Let me tell you what makes me hungry for heaven, and that is I fell in love with Jesus Christ 65 plus years ago. I was 16 years of age. 1952, and I fell in love with Jesus. And I mean, Jesus became the Lord and the joy of my life. There is a peace in Jesus. There is a blessedness in Jesus. There is a flow of life in Jesus that this world knows nothing about. And I don't even need another reason to want to go to heaven to be anxious about it, but Jesus, but the blessed Son of God. The Savior, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Apostle Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. You cannot study the Bible and not find that in every instance, heaven is gain over this world. Heaven, to go to heaven, to go before the Lord, to reach the end of the journey and the cross over Jordan. Nothing even compares with the blessedness of that day and that hour. And most of the world don't even think about it. I don't know how many preachers preach about it. I can't answer. I can tell you I love to preach about it because I know that heaven is going to be the grandest thing on the face of this universe. Well, I need to get beyond the face of this universe, in the whole of God's universe. Nothing matches heaven. Nothing matches heaven. I'm telling you, and when you begin to think about the words you will never hear again once you get to heaven, that in itself makes heaven just come alive. And that's really what I want to do for you. I want to help you make heaven come alive. I want to help you get your eyes set on something but this world. Something but this world and its pleasures and its so-called fun things. I want to get your eyes set on heaven. And you get your eyes set on heaven and you really fall in love with the possibility of being with Christ for eternity. Being with the angels of God for eternity. Being with Peter and James and John And you know, going right on back through the whole Bible, being with the greats of the great Christian world. I think of men and women that were so, I yesterday began to think about the Church of God people that I have known, from Wade Horton and Ray Hughes, and you know, and just by these scads. By the scads. One brother I remember that I really loved so dearly. And I tried yesterday to find his phone number to call him. Don't know where he is. I think he's a little older than I. Maybe the same age. I really don't remember. Lamar Bess is his name. Wonderful brother. And I get to thinking about seeing the good men that held on to the truth, that wouldn't compromise for hell or high water. They loved this Bible, and the Bible was final for them. Nothing else took precedence over the Bible. Now, heaven is going to be worth it all when you think of the greats that you will see. I know there's probably very few out there that don't have one or two loved ones in heaven. Or at least you think they're in heaven, hopefully. Sometimes you hope they're in heaven. I don't know which it might be with you. I've got some in my background. I think I know they're in heaven. I got others. I hope they're in heaven. But I'm not the judge, and I'm grateful to God for that. But I'm telling you, heaven will truly and surely be worth it all. Now, let's talk about words that you will never hear in heaven. And I want you to listen, and I want you to think. And if you come up with a word that we ought to consider, call in, okay? And let's hear your word. I want this program to be your program. This is not mine. This is yours. And I want that. Now, let's talk about things you will never hear in heaven. Sin. You will never hear a word called sin. And you will never hear anything categorized in that particular world of sin. You will never hear the word fornication. You will never hear that word. It won't be spoken in heaven. Fornication will no longer exist. Fornication will no longer exist. The word adultery. Adultery. I've got a daughter whose husband just, you know, finally left her and made life so miserable. And you know, that word adultery will never. She spent so many years longing for her husband, but she doesn't have him. And she knows now she will never have him. And that word will not be heard in heaven. Then the word sodomy. Never be heard on that glorious day. Never, never. Pain. There'll be no such thing as pain. The body will have no capacity to hurt. There will be nothing to create pain. Nothing to cause pain. Now listen. Troubles. There will be no troubles over there. There just won't be any troubles. Can you imagine a world where there's not one trouble, where there's not one storm somewhere brewing, where there's not one politician who's turned dirty as a dog? Just think about all the troubles that you have known. The Bible makes it plain that life is going to bring trouble to all of us. There is trouble in this world, in this life, in this existence. But the word trouble will never be heard. The word depression. Depression. Do you know anybody depressed? Depression is horrible. It leaves people completely destroyed almost. Depression is a horrible word. It will never exist over there. There will be no depression over there. Broken heart. You know anybody with a broken heart? Think about the people who've lost little children that they love with all their life, and they lost them in the young years. One, two, three, some less, some over. And they've carried the pain of losing that child. How about all of those who've given up a son or daughter in the armed forces, in Cambodia, in Laos, in Afghanistan, in Iran. I mean, on and on. You can name the places where we have had boys, girls to die in the service of our military. Think about the pain those moms and dads have had. There'll be none of that over there. Not an iota of it. Never will it happen again. Never will it occur again. Think about, worries. Worries, just things to worry about. Go to bed and you lay there and you get some worry on your mind and it just won't go away. Have you ever had that to happen to you? Boy, it sure happens to me. And there'll be no worries over there. There will be nothing to ever confuse you, concern you, to worry about. Hurt feelings. Have you ever had someone hurt your feelings and you felt such pain and injury? Well, there will be no hurt feelings over there. There'll be no loneliness. I tell you, loneliness is tough. Loneliness is tough, but there won't be no loneliness over there. No such thing as loneliness. There'll be no divorce, remember? No divorce. That goes back up to adultery and fornication and all of that. No divorce. No husband leaving his wife because he got involved, immorally with somebody at work or somebody he met on internet. A lot of that's going on today. I mean, there'll be no divorce. There'll be no husbands leaving their wives and wives leaving their husbands and brokenhearted. They tell me that divorce is worse than death. Well, I've just come through my wife's death, and if divorce is worse, God help us. You know, it's got to be a terrible world. And then sickness, cancer, all kinds of sicknesses. This old body is frail. This old body can pick up things that are just overwhelming. There will be no such thing as frailty or sickness in that world in which we're headed for. Do you get these words? Do you get them? Do you get them? Death. Death will not exist. Death, the last enemy of man, will be forever gone. There will be no death. Temptation. Well, I mean, that's a lot of words, and I know I didn't get started. But there are just many, many more. Many, many more. Just things that break the heart. Things that trouble the spirit. Things that trouble the individual. Things that leave the emotions frayed and leave the body frail. About 3.5 weeks ago, I was going from here to the other building, and I crashed in the sidewalk. I mean, I crashed head first right into the sidewalk. Took me 3.5 weeks to get right at the edge of being completely over to all these ribs. And, you know, these kind of things can happen in this life. There will be no falling and bursting your head in that world to come. Well, none of that will exist. Do you understand? I mean, you take all that I've said to you and you separate life from all of that, those things, and you understand, friend, you're talking about a different kind of world. Forgive me there. You're talking about a different kind of world. You're talking about a different kind of world, and that's going to be our world for eternity. If you go to heaven, you'll be there for eternity. There will be no limited. There will be no day of departure. There will be no end to the happiness. There will be nothing to worry about. This can't last forever. It will last forever. Do you understand? Heaven will last forever. Heaven is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So is hell. But that's, you know, I hope you understand, heaven has to be the goal. Heaven must be the goal. I yearn that every one of you will make heaven your goal. Now remember, you say, I don't even think about heaven. Well, what if you lived in North Korea? What if you lived in Iran? What if you lived in some, you know, some terrible little hut in some foreign place of our world and had hardly enough to eat? I've been to places where they had to buy enough rice for their meal every time they ate. They'd have to go down the street and buy enough rice for lunch, you know, and just each day praying that they had enough money to buy enough rice to have a good meal that day. I mean, friend, we don't understand here in America. We don't understand how wonderful heaven is going to be for a good part of this world. There is a great amount of this world that heaven is going to be the grandest thing, and really is going to be the grandest thing for all of us. But for those who've lived in misery that many have lived in, heaven will really be a grand moment. It will really be a grand occasion. But I got to tell you that the best world here, the very best you could possibly have, with the greatest of riches, with the greatest of luxuries, with the best of income, with the greatest of friends, with the best of reputation, nothing you can have here, the best possible life you can have here, is still nothing to compare with eternity. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message? I hope you do, because I want you to get your eyes set on eternity. I want to get your heart set. It's better to live for Christ than anything else on the face of this earth. Anything on the face of this earth. Now, I want to go to the Bible for a minute, the book of Revelation 22, and just read a few verses, because I want you to understand, heaven is not myth. Heaven is not just imaginary. Heaven is not some dislocated, disembodied bunch of spirits drifting around up there in some kind of positive atmosphere. No, heaven is as real as this earth. Life over there will be just as real as living here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Living in New Jerusalem will be just as wonderful as you can imagine. Living in the biggest, finest hotel building on the face of this earth will be natural. It will be wonderful. You will know as you are known. You will love your friends. You will love the people you have known, the great saints of God. You will enjoy the singing and the music and the celebration. And you can stroll over heaven with the people you love the most and were the closest to. And you can visit in their place of living, their mansion. Or they can visit in your mansion. And you can sit and talk and you don't have to worry about it. The sun going down. You don't have no sundown. No sundown. Can you imagine a place where there's no sundown? Hadn't thought about that one, but that's a good one. There's no rainstorm coming. There's no brewing hurricane off the coast of Florida. I mean, these kind of things will not exist in that world we call heaven. And I don't think most people have stopped to consider what is waiting for you at the end of your journey if you serve the Lord. If you serve the Lord, if you don't serve the Lord, you know what it is. There's only two places, heaven and hell. And to think of going to hell overwhelms me. As I've got older, I just grieve over the possibility of thinking of someone spending eternity in hell. I grieve over it. I grieve. I think of the worst enemies I've ever had and a few I still got, and I weep and pray for them. I mean, I think about them being lost forever and I weep over them. You say they don't like you. That doesn't matter. I weep over them. They destroy you in a minute. I know there's folks that would, but I weep over them. I promise you, I'm not going to live no other way but with a heart in tune with Christ and looking forward to heaven. And I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Listen, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Now, he showed him a clear river of life. Now, this is real. Understand? In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now you can't hear that and not know that's real. Trees, rivers, the tree of life, happiness, joy, those things are things we understand. And they are going to be at their fullest in this eternal place we call heaven. They're going to be at their fullest. A new heaven and a new earth. A place where the devil has never put his feet. See, the devil has put his foot in heaven. He's put his foot all over this earth. He has his dwelling in the heavens above, the second heavens, the mid-air. But Satan will not have put his foot on the new heaven and the new earth that God is going to create. If there's anything about the new heaven and the new earth that's different from this earth, and the heaven is now is, Satan has been all over things, corrupting them and destroying and doing offensive things. He will have never put his foot on that new heaven and the new earth. I preach sometimes, especially at funerals, New Jerusalem, that great city of New Jerusalem, is a redemptive city. And Satan has never been allowed in the door. He's never put his foot on one iota, one inch of that city of New Jerusalem. And when that city comes down, it comes to a new heaven and a new earth where he's never put his foot again. It will be cleansed and purified and made new. And it's going to be real, friend. It's going to be real. And it bears the tree of life bears 12 manner of fruit every month. Can you imagine every month going out and picking some great pomegranates or picking some, you know, whatever fruit you like the best? There is some good fruit out there. I've been to several countries of Africa, and I'm here to tell you, there's some fruit over this globe. I can't remember the names of some of the things I've ate, and they were so delicious. I remember one time going to Israel, and we went down to Jericho. Couldn't go there now because of what's happening, but we went to Jericho, and there was a fruit stand. And we stopped. The bus stopped at the fruit stand, and we could buy things. And I bought a big old, I thought it was an orange. Later, I found it was a grapefruit, but it was just like an orange. You could just peel it off in big old slashes, and they were so scrumptious. It was amazing. I will never forget that big old orange. Or whatever it was, grapefruit. I don't know what it was. I just know it was some kind of good. And when I saw it, I wanted it and I bought it. And it was delicious. I mean, what can you imagine? I mean, you are talking, friend, about just the tree of life. Just thinking about the tree of life that spreads all over God's great universe. And it bears fruit, 12 manners of fruit. I mean, it just got all kinds of things on it. You can go pick a big old, pomegranate. Pomegranate don't grow on trees, does it? I don't know. No, it don't. I know it don't. But anyhow, you can get all kinds of things that you will love. You are talking about something grand. Something grand. Let me read on. And there shall be no curse. There shall be no curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There shall be no night. Remember, I said that a while ago. And they need no candle. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, you can read in this Bible, and some of the things you read about concerning heaven, they're just really overwhelming. I can't explain all of them. I'll try. So get on the phones now. If you know a name, you have a scripture you want me to read, get on the phone, 704-391-0588. Let me put them up for just a moment here, okay? 391-0588, the 800 number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. And I'll do my best. We've got a precious secretary, precious lady here answering the phone. Her husband is here with her, and they'll answer the phone, and they'll take your name, and we'll send you this gift. I want to send you this gift. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. You know, our materials are all over the world. I get amazed at some of the places I hear from, some of the places that our material has spread, and I'm grateful. I really am. I was with a minister some time ago who does missionary work, and he was telling about being in a great group of islands off African coast. He gave the name of them, a huge place, and he said there was a minister there that had started a radio program like this, where they answer Bible questions and teach the Bible. And he said they call him the Joe Chambers whatever the name of those islands were, the Joe Chambers. Our programs have already reached there. See, anywhere in the world, you can take this phone right here and you can hear the radio program that you're listening to right now, and you can hear it live. Or you can hear it in archives. We don't have any record of how many people is picking this up right now. I've had people call me from Pakistan begging me to come. One minister called and said, I'm preaching everything you preach all over the country of Pakistan. I mean, those things thrilled me. They really thrilled me. And I'm telling you, we are living on the day when people need this truth. They need these great messages and this great material because it will change your life. Now, if you know a word that you want us to mention, you know a scripture, you call right now, okay? The lines are open for you to give you this free booklet. So grab a phone. Please don't wait. I love these programs when I have lots of questions and I can hear and answer your questions. That's the thrill to me. Everything's ready. All you got to do is dial one of those numbers you just saw on the line, and we will do our best to answer your question and to be a blessing to you. Okay? My wife always put this behind me for me, and I don't have her, and so I haven't arranged some way to do it. I will get that done. But I want to tell you, friend, I want to tell you, heaven is going to be worth it all. Heaven is going to be worth it all. And I got a lot of things to talk about here, but I want you to call because I want to answer your question. And I want to help you with anything about heaven that troubles you. Anything about heaven that you're not sure of. There's some things I can't answer because those the Bible don't answer. But if I know the answer in the Bible, I will answer it. I don't know everything in the Bible, you understand. So it'll be very important. Now, here's something I want you to get about heaven. Now listen to me. The wicked, those unsaved people, their names will rot and they will never be remembered in heaven. If you've got a son or a daughter that refuses to listen to the gospel, they live an unholy life. They miss heaven. You'll never remember and pain yourself over their departure, over the failure of them being there. Now, I don't like that. I love my family with everything inside of me. And I can't stand the thoughts of some of them not making it into that grand city. But see, I can't decide that. They've got to decide that. The names of the wicked will rot. I'll come back to that and read the scripture, but let's take a call. If you will, I hope you'll grab your phone and call, and I will do my best to help you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
We're listening at your program, and I really enjoy it. But I've got one word, but I want you to read a scripture, if you would, over in 1 Thessalonians
okay.
4 and 17.
1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. I'll be right there. Give me just a moment. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, that's a good place. Now, what's the question?
Well, I just wanted you to read that scripture.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay, what about the word by? You say by to someone, we'll never hear that word up there, will we?
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up where, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we never be with, so shall we ever So shall we ever, did I say, I don't get the word now. So shall we ever be with the Lord? What word are you worrying about?
Okay, I was just giving you that word, by. You were talking about a word that we'll not hear up there. We'll not have to tell our loved ones by.
No, we won't. Well, that's not the same word as you've got here, but I agree with you that the word by will never be heard. There'll never be a goodbye. That's good. That's good, brother. There'll never be a goodbye.
Right, right.
Nobody will depart and nobody will show up. Once heaven is complete and settled, the word bye will not. Thank you. That's a good word. B-Y-E. We'll never say goodbye to anybody.
Right. We're going to be there for eternity.
For eternity. I'm so glad you're listening.
Hard to comprehend, but it's real, isn't it?
It's absolutely real. Let's spend a moment there. We will never hear a goodbye. That's good. That is excellent. You know, there'll never be a goodbye over there. There'll never be anybody that departs. I mean, if you're saved and you go to heaven, you're saved forever. I mean, that's what you call eternal security. That's really eternal security.
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I wish everybody out there would come up with a word that I have not thought about. So I never thought about there'll never be a goodbye. Bye. There'll never be somebody saying bye to you. There'll never be somebody that says, I won't see you no more. They may say, well, I'll be back in a few days. Well, no, there won't be days because there's no day. I'll be back in a few hundred years. Yeah, I'll be back. It's just going to be eternity. Can you imagine now, folks? We are talking about something that's really, literally overwhelming. overwhelming. Now, let me go back. While you're calling, grab the phone, 704-391-0588. I like that brother doing that. That really was a good word. Really was a good word. No such thing as saying goodbye over there. But I got to come back and let you, some of you worry about lost loved ones that just won't listen. You worry about brothers and sisters that will pay no attention to this old-fashioned gospel. Some of you have husbands and wives who just will not serve the Lord. They just will not. Now, you got to understand, the name of the wicked will rot. The name of the wicked will depart forever. Let's go to it. Proverbs 10 and 7. We need to read that. Proverbs 10 and 7. Never again will you worry about the unsaved loved one once you're over there, friend. I have a hard time thinking about that, because there's some people I love that aren't serving God, and my heart hurts, and I get on my knees and go to praying, and I go to squalling, and I know I must disturb our school people sometimes in the sanctuary squalling, because I am hurting. I'm praying for the gift of weeping. I think I already have it, but I want it stronger. I want it stronger. Now, 10 and 7. I want you to see this, 10 and 7. This is powerful. The memory of the just is blessed. Oh, you're going to remember the just people. And notice that the memory of the just is blessed. It's a blessing to remember Wade H. Horton. It's a blessing to remember Sister Horton, his dear wife. It's a blessing to remember my wife's mother and dad. It's a blessing to remember my family that were saved. And anyone, my dear wife, I can sit and just be blessed by the testimony she left. She left a testimony that just is overwhelming. Let me tell you ladies something. Will you ladies listen to me? What does it mean that a woman is the helpmate of her husband? It doesn't mean he's over her like a big dictator. It doesn't mean there's some kind of meanness and rulership that she has to bow to him. The Muslim world of women is so contrary to the Bible, it isn't even close. You know, they have to wear something over their face. They can't go out of the house if the husband don't tell them they can. He can beat them, and nobody can do a thing about it because it's his right. Listen to me. That kind of stuff is terrible. But I want to tell you, a wife like my wife, she was smart. Man, was she smart. Smarter than me. Oh, much smarter than I. And she was wonderful with the school. And she was wonderful in planning beautiful things. But every time my wife would plan anything, I'm not talking about a few things, I'm talking about the total realm. My wife would never plan a thing and put it in operation until she come to me and sat down and said, "Dad, I want to share with you something I'm thinking about." I said, "Honey, I trust you utterly. Go for it." She said, "Oh, no, I don't go for nothing, Dad, until I get your approval." And she would sit down and tell me what she had on her heart. And I would say, "Honey, that is a wonderful idea, and you go for it." But she wouldn't do it until she got my approval. I mean, that was just her. The whole of our marriage, I had to say okay for anything she did. I mean, I had to say okay for anything she did. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I was enjoyed listening to your program today.
I'm delighted, sir.
I was down Thursday. I was down in a town east of Charlotte, North Carolina, and I remembered I was only just a stone's throw from a little town that I was in right after I got saved in the 1970s. It was a few years, and I went in. I was talking to a woman. She said, "My daughter died of cancer," said, and she was in the bed, and she looked. She said, "Mother, can you hear that singing and music there?" She said, "Honey, I can't. She didn't hear it." And said she died right after that. And then she told me another story that was very disturbing. She said there was a man in our community that was not a Christian. He was a very vile man. And he was staying in his family had him in the front room of his house near the front door. And he suddenly told his grown sons to start. He said, "My feet are on fire." And they said, no, they're not dead. He said, they are. He said, pull me up higher in the bed. Get me away from that flame. And finally, he jumped up. He was so addled. He jumped up, and he ran out the front door and died right there in the front yard. And I had a private duty nurse in Charlotte on Dakota Avenue told me that when she was a young nurse, she had had a man that she was taking care of over in Tennessee. He was very rich, wealthy man. He owned a railroad. And he had broken his back after he was picking apples and fell off the ladder and broke his back bedridden. And she said he wasn't a believer. And she said, I asked several ministers to come over and talk to him. And he wasn't really ugly to him, but he never would, you know, heal his heart to Christ. And she said, one morning I saw the most horrible thing that I've ever seen in my life. He looked around like up at the corner of the ceiling like something was chasing him. And he lunged to the middle of the floor and he died. She said, and I was thinking, you know, there's supernatural events going on around us all the time. And I don't know why people are so hard-hearted to it. And they believe in this ungodly, wicked world system full of politicians and movie stars and everybody else that are engaged in every wickedness under the sun. And they love this and cling to it. And God's trying to reach them in so many ways. I had a preacher tell me one time that they don't dope people up. If they didn't dope people up in the hospital, you'd hear a lot more of these cases where people are going into eternity.
You know, the one thing that was overwhelming to my family and I at the hospital in Pineville is they were determined that I was going to be part of this new program that's out there that everybody gets involved in when they're dying. And I've been around them, and they fill them so full of morphine, they just simply ease them out of here. And they think it's merciful. They think they're being kind and gentle, helping the wicked die like this. I'm helping people die like this. But I don't think it's kind and gentle at all. They were so angry with me. My daughters couldn't believe how mean they got because we wouldn't let my wife be put in hospice. And we said, no way. And they treated us terrible over it. I'm telling you, they treated us terrible over it because this world wants to help you die easy. They don't realize a lot of them people might get saved if they had some consciousness as they came down to death. But it's all an effort of the Obama health system to get the wicked and to get people wicked or good out of here as easy as possible.
Oh, yeah. And the public is so uninformed. A lot of church stores, they don't even understand that.
No, they don't. They think I'm the one that's crazy. They treated me. I can't believe how these very educated, upstanding people treated me because I said, no, we don't involve ourselves in hospice. They're godless. Whatever the name of any god you want to be a part of, they allow that. And maybe some of them are good people. I don't doubt they are. Yeah. But what it is I don't want my loved ones and I don't want myself to die without knowing I'm dying. You know what my wife did the morning before she died? My wife said to me, Dad, let's pray. I want to hear God talk again. And we began to pray, and she began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and she began to listen as God was talking to her. And she did that over and over during her last days, and that was her last request of me about the things of God. Dad, let's I want to hear God talking again. And we'd pray, and it was, you know, those things are wonderful.
Yeah. I know a man who was, before he became a believer, was went to Anton LaVey's Satanic Church in San Francisco, and you know, he was the chief Luciferian, and I saw a video online of his former girlfriend who became a believer talking about his last moment on the bed, and he got a rude awakening, and she knew it, and she gave an account where he was in a calm voice, but his attending nurse gave an account saying, yeah, he said all that stuff, but he was screaming it. He was so terrified as to where he was going. So I don't know how anybody can tread the precious blood of Jesus Christ under their feet and ignore all these things. I think people are just absolute, almost demon possessed.
Well, the Bible said the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine. So we live in a world that's darkened. They've been so darkened by the new age world that's coming. The Antichrist, the spirit of the tribulation period is already in the air. We are so close to that rapture. It could happen before I leave this radio station today. Well, I'm not at the station, but leave the air, I should say. Before I leave the air today, we're just that near the coming of the Lord. And heaven is real, brother. I want you to know heaven is real. Heaven is the most wonderful place in the world. Can you imagine it?
No, it's hard to, but I know it's good. It'll be better. I remember Adrian Rogers said he went to see his old pastor, Dr. Robert G. Lee, and he said, how you doing? He said, I've been seeing heaven. And he says, you know, I preached about it many times over the years. He said, but I really didn't do it justice.
Well, since my wife's death, I've got closer to heaven than I've ever got. And man, I'm a long way to go. Woo! Don't get me talking about it. I can't handle it. But I want to tell you, it's going to be a wonderful day, and I am going soon. And you're going soon, brother, because we're at the door. Thank you for calling, my friend. God bless you. Hey, somebody else, wherever you are, you need to call today. I want you on the air, and I want you to share some of this that you feel. And if you know a word that you're never going to hear over there, let's hear it. I love that while ago when the brother called and said bye. The word bye will never be heard over there. We'll never say goodbye to each other. We'll be together for eternity. The people you love, there'll be no more departure. You know, the Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And death is nothing but separation. You're separated from life here. You're separated from your family. You're separated from the physical body, later to be united with a new body. It's all heavenly. It's wonderful, wonderful. Hey, did I read that scripture yet? I don't know whether I did or not, but I want to read it. I want you to hear this verse of scripture in the book of, let me make sure I got it, Proverbs 10 and 7. You've got to hear this. It says, the memory of the just is blessed. Listen, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of the wicked shall rot. You see all those great people out there who have earned the reputation of being great in politics, or great in the world of finance, or great in the world of education, or great in the world of poetry, or of music, or either writing songs or singing them. I mean, whatever you've been great in, if you don't know God, your name will rot. Elvis Presley, I know you make people mad when you tell them the man was terribly lost. He was worse than lost. He was damned, and he'd lived it. I mean, he had been, to die like he died, and people think he's gone to heaven. It's because they've been duped. They've been made to believe something that's not real. Let me tell you, those names of those greats who saw their name in spotlights and in flashing lights and on the movie industry, they will be nothing. They won't even be remembered. Their names will rot. These wicked politicians' name will rot. These wicked businessmen's name will rot. Your ungodly husband or wife that left you and ran off and has lived like the devil, if they die unsaved, their name will rot. So you got to remember that. And so we don't have to worry about going to heaven and weeping over all the people that don't show up. We do not have to worry. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't carry a burden. It don't mean we should pain ourselves to reach them for Christ. We should. If you got a loved one lost, you ought to be weeping for them. If you've got a neighbor that's lost, you ought to be weeping for them. Whoever out there is lost, you ought to be weeping for them. It doesn't matter to me. I was going down Little Rock Road yesterday, and this woman comes screaming across the road. I don't know where she was running from. She ran across the road and ran on out into the field and was heading for another road, and I lost sight of her, and I prayed for her, and I felt a weeping spirit for her. And you say, why didn't you stop? You can't stop for something like that going down the highway. You know better than that. A minister, stop and take her in his car. And who knows what's going on? Who knows what she's going to tell? Who knows what's going to happen? Unless God leads you, and if God leads you, you do it and not worry about it. But, I just felt pain and heart broke. heartbreak at this woman's sadness. And we live in a world that's in a mess, but the name of the wicked shall rot. They won't be there, and we won't remember them. That's what I'm trying to say about heaven. We won't remember the wicked who refuse Christ. We will not remember the wicked who refuse Christ. Okay? Phone number 704-391-0588. Let me put that up there again, because I want you to call. I want to help you. That's what I like better than anything else, is helping you. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. Now, while you're calling, you see the numbers. I'll leave them a moment. Do you understand that heaven is going to have this new Garden of Eden, of which the one that Adam and Eve was put in is but a type. This new Garden of Eden will be multiplied acres. It will be a multiplied place of happiness and joy. I mean, just to think of living in a Garden of Eden for eternity. Everything the world over will be flourishing and beautiful and full of every kind of beautiful flower and every kind of wonderful fruit to enjoy. I'm telling you, what we got in front of us in just the idea of the Garden of Eden restored to us forever and ever and ever. Now, here's a good one. You are going to have a new name. Hey, this one I'm really involved in studying right now. The new name. Now, let me read you. Let's go to it. Let me see if I can. Zephaniah 3:9. Zephaniah 3:9. This is a breathtaking. I got to go the other direction here. Zephaniah 3:9. Now, listen to this. You got to hear this, okay? You got to hear it. But then will I turn. And that word in the Hebrew is return. Then will I return to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. Then I will return a new name. Now, come back to that. Let me take a call here. I want to get every call in I possibly can. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. This is Manning Brown out of Conway, South Carolina.
Hey, my brother.
The brother was on there a while ago, and he was saying about the catching away of the church.
You can't what now?
He was saying about the catching away of the church.
Yes.
In Isaiah 57 and 1, I want you to read that scripture.
Isaiah 57 and 1. Give me just a moment. I will be delighted. Are you enjoying the program?
Yes, sir, I am.
57 and 1. All right, I'll be right there. Just one shot here. Here we go. 57 and 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. Let me get it while I read it. More considering the righteous, none considering the righteous, is taken away from the evil to come. All right, let me read that again. That's a good verse. The righteous perisheth, and no man considereth or layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. More none considereth that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Well, that's a scripture that's talking about the pre-trib rapture. He's going to take away the righteous from the wicked to come.
Yeah, I read that scripture the other day, and it didn't hit me till then.
It got a hold of you, didn't it? I had not read it in a while, and I was a little bit, my eyes are really giving me a fit. But it's very clear that is a scripture about God delivering the righteous, and that we'll be out of here before the wicked take full storm.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Very helpful, okay? Do you have another question? You know a word that you might want to mention that will never be heard in heaven? Joe Chambers, may I help you, please?
Yes. Matthew 5:22 talks about anger against your brother.
Yes.
And then it says,
What chapter in Matthew?
522.
Okay, got you. Back 522. You said that, and my mind didn't grab it, and I had to hear it again, okay? 522. Let me read it. Very important. We want all of this book. 522, and it says, but if thine eye be evil, wait a minute, that's 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Is that your scripture?
No. Matthew 5.
Oh, I was reading 6:22. You'll have to forgive me there. 5:22, I got it now. It said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, rascal, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, what's your question?
Well, I think that calling a brother, I think this refers to calling a brother a fool, but if you can call an unbeliever a fool.
Well, you wouldn't want to be the one to call him a fool. You would just say the Bible calls him a fool.
Well, I mean, you don't want to call a brother.
You would never call your brother a fool. You would try to teach him. You would try to show him he was wrong. If it's an enemy, you may say, sir, you act in the part of a fool. But you need to always be careful with anything you say to anybody so you don't put yourself in a judgment condition.
Well, the whole verse refers to a brother, and a brother would be a fellow Christian, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so a non-Christian you could call a fool.
Well, again, I say, yes, you may can get by with that. But I wouldn't want to do that. I would say that man is acting the part of a fool. Or I would say God calls out a fool. But it's better not to put yourself in the condition of calling people fools. You got to take judgment into your hands. And you don't always know everybody that is or everybody that isn't a Christian. There's some people we don't think going to go to heaven or be there, and some we think going won't be there.
Well, I've heard a sign quite a bit, and I say the superstition theory of evolution is for fools.
A what now?
My sign that I carry that a lot of people have seen says, the superstition of evolution is for fools.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I wouldn't have anything against a sign that says that.
Okay, well, what I'm doing, I'm calling somebody who believes in evolution a fool.
Well, I understand, but let me move on, okay? You've made a good point, and I thank you for doing so, my dear friend. Thank you very much. You on the air, may I help you, please? I'm sorry. Put them on hold again. I may have got them when they were being answered. Let me try again. You on the air, may I help you, please? Well, they'll have to call again. Call again, please, friend. I may have messed it up myself. I was trying to help this dear man, and I was a little bit, confused about how to say it rightly, and I hope I did say it rightly. I always try my best to say things right because I want to help people. Now, I have time for a couple more calls. This has been a great program to me. Heaven will surely be worth it all. I got a list here. I'm amazed. I wanted to talk about the new name that we're going to have. We may do a whole program on that. A new name. We're all going to have a new name, and I believe that new name we're going to have can be identified in 1 Thessalonians 14:2, where it talks about unknown tongues. Unknown tongues. I believe that indeed is the new language. Now, we may speak it here now by the Holy Ghost, and when we do, we're talking directly with God, and nobody understands us. I want to spend some time with that one, and I don't have time to do that today. But there's so many other things about heaven. So many other things. Look, friend, for that glorious day when we're going to have a new, oh boy, the things I've got to talk about. It's going to be grand. Are you excited about heaven? Did you get a list of all those words you'll never hear over there? I really like that word goodbye. We'll never hear the word goodbye. Nobody will say goodbye to one another ever again. Hallelujah. I had to say goodbye to my sweetheart, but when I see you the next time, there will be no more goodbyes. Friends, we are a blessed people to have such a place for us prepared in the heavens. We are a blessed people to have a God who loves us so much. I'm preaching tomorrow on let me see if I can say the right word. I'm blessed by what I'm going to preach. And here I am having trouble with the right word. One word here I'm missing. Oh, I got it written down here somewhere. I want to make sure I say it. I put it. The wonder of God is his love for man. That was what I wanted to say. That's my sermon tomorrow. The wonder of God is his love for man. Do you understand how much God loves us? Do you understand what he gave to save us? His own son sent him from heaven. Eternity, God the Father and God the Son had been together. And God gave him up for a limited period to come down here and die on the cross for you and I. And that's just a little picture of how much he loves us. And how literally, there are some of you out there that you've heard the call of God so many times. You have felt the wooing of the Holy Ghost. You've got a wife that's prayed and loves you and cared for your soul. You got a mama and daddy who have wept for you and wept for you. I was in a home right down the street here. We've been really knocking on doors. And this man by the name of Don, and I won't tell you his last name. But Don was standing there under conviction. Big old man, has a good job. Nice person, and he's under conviction so bad from the moment I knocked on his door the first time, just doing visitation. Must have been about somewhere February of this year. He looked straight at me and said, I know I need to come. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. And he's still under conviction. And I said to him the last time I was in his home about 2 weeks ago, I said, Don, I want to tell you something. I can tell by watching you and seeing the look on your face and hearing how you respond to me that you've got a mother or a dad or somebody that's been weeping and sobbing for you. They've been praying for you a long time. And now you are at the very point of making the choice, and you can't seem to make it. You can't seem to get over it. Now, I want to give you something as I close. And you got to hear this. I want everybody out there to listen. Listen to me. I did a study the other day of the ages in which people get saved and the percentage of people that get saved at different ages. Did you know that 83% of everybody that gets saved is saved before they are over 14 years of age? 14 years, the age of 14 years, 83% of people give their life to Christ. Another 10% give their life to Christ until they're 21. And anybody that's 21 years and older and you're not saved, there's a 4% chance of you ever being saved according to the statistics of great churches and great evangelistic programs and great efforts to win the lost. 4% of the people who are 21 years of age or older, 4% of you will get saved. The rest of you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Are you listening to me? The rest of you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Now, my friend, I'm telling you, that's nothing to laugh at. That's nothing to be careless about. Your chance of getting right with God gets less and less and less day by day. And I beg of you, I'm trying to get ready to end here. I beg of you to turn to God. Turn to Christ. Now, I've got to go. I'd love to have you here to preach to you tomorrow morning. The wonder of God's love for man. I want you to be saved. 4% of those over 21 years of age will ever be saved. And you've got it in your hands. And you've been told. Now, if you do not remember, then I can do nothing about it. I can do nothing about it. I pray before God that you will turn to Christ before it's too late. I pray before God that you'll turn to Christ before it's too late, because it's getting close, friend. It's getting close, friend. Jesus shine a light on me, and then he turned on my night today, and now
I love you.